You're listening to From the Front Lines, a special podcast from WUFT during the COVID-19 pandemic. This podcast provides daily updates on Florida's response to coronavirus with a particular focus on North Central Florida. In addition to news and important information, From the Front Lines will feature a member of the community who is working to keep the community safe or running during these challenging times. Hello, I'm your host, Ryan Vasquez, and this is From the Front Lines. Here are the most recent COVID-19 numbers from around the state. Alachua County has 72 positive cases of the coronavirus, 67 are residents. Clay County has 35 positive cases, with Marion County having 22 and Citrus County with 16 positive cases. In total, there are 4,950 positive cases statewide and 60 deaths as a result of the virus. The City of Gainesville and Alachua County have expanded COVID-19 testing capabilities to include a drive-through testing site. This site will limit public contact between residents and protect healthcare professionals. At this time, the Department of Health is only offering testing by appointment to patients who have been referred by a physician. People must still go through a screening process and receive a testing order. Alachua County is also launching a new COVID-19 volunteer portal. The community resource portal has two new volunteer buttons at the top of the homepage, one for organizations and one for individuals. More information at alachuacounty.us/COVID-19. Countless questions are being raised amid the coronavirus pandemic as it impacts daily life. One such question is, what's happening in Florida's prisons? Fresh Take Florida's Dana Cassidy talked to us on Wednesday about her digital story, which focused on some of the problems facing the Florida prison system amid the coronavirus pandemic.
So, as of now, I don't believe an inmate has been confirmed yet of having the virus, but I know a corrections officer was confirmed yesterday. So there was a confirmed case involving the prison system so far. Now, the issue with that is it's really hard to socially distance within prisons. So I talked to a few experts about that, and I wanted to figure out what would happen if this did go down. And it's basically a domino effect. Unless there really is a halted stop, it's just going to keep going till everyone's affected. And that's what I wanted to do with my story. And I think the interesting thing that I found as a reporter, just by talking to people, that regardless of your opinion on how we incarcerate in Florida, everyone agrees that this is going to change what our protocol is here on out. So Florida is sort of known compared to other states to being a little on the heavier side, and we tend to incarcerate more people. If you have a suspended driver's license and you've been caught a couple times driving, that could be a felony charge. So with our prisons, there was a big call for local jails. If you are awaiting pretrial, or if you are a nonviolent or older offender with some medical background issues, you should be let out of jail during this time because you won't be a public threat to society.
That was Dana Cassidy with Fresh Take Florida, which is a news service provided by the University of Florida's College of Journalism and Communications. More on this story at WUFT.org. Florida is working to set up more highway checkpoints to deter travelers from New York from arriving in the state. Governor Ron DeSantis says the screening of travelers on Interstate 95 will be similar to the measure adopted Friday on Interstate 10 to discourage travel from Louisiana. The checkpoints are to require travelers to self-quarantine for 14 days. The governor adds President Donald Trump also talked to him about a quarantine for coronavirus hotspots in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut amid concerns that the residents have infected people in other regions, such as Florida. For many K-12 grade school children, school is not only a source of learning, but their only reliable source of a square meal. School systems all around the state are doing their best to provide meals to students who usually receive free or reduced lunch, but can't because schools are closed. WUFT's Daniela Mora spoke with Alachua County Public Schools Director of Food and Nutrition Services, Maria Eunice, about how the system is preparing to feed kids for an indefinite amount of time.
I wanted to start off first with what you all are doing during this pandemic.
There's 32 school sites that we are opening up on Monday. There's 8, I believe, sites that are in addition to our school sites. And then there are 33, well, we just added 2 more, 35 bus stops that we are going to be opening. So 75 locations where kids in the community, children of the community, can get a meal. We also had to totally change our menu. We're doing cold grab-and-go meals. And what we're doing is during the meal service at the sites, it's going to be 11 to 1. We'll have staff there distributing a lunch for today and a breakfast for tomorrow. On Fridays, we're going to be giving the same thing, lunch for Friday and breakfast actually for the next day, but we'll have a Saturday and Sunday meal available to the families on Friday. So 7 days a week, we will have meals out to the children of the community that are 18 years and younger.
And about how many kids are you servicing right now during this time?
So last week we fed, and we had only opened up 8 sites, and we were feeding a number of sites from those 8 sites. We had some elementary schools coming and picking up meals for their schools, and the schools were trying to figure out, principals, assistant principals, office staff were serving those meals at the elementary schools. We only got to about 3,200 meals for lunch and 3,200 for breakfast last week because we had few sites open. We had this week, like I said, spring break to regroup and really take the time to figure out where the sites needed to be, where we needed to set up locations. So I'm anticipating a larger number next week and from then on. It's hard to say, but on a regular basis, we serve over 20,000 lunches and close to 10,000 breakfasts a day. So we're not getting near those numbers, but hopefully next week we will be reaching all of the students in the county that are needing assistance.
Can you walk me through kind of this like compiling and distribution process that you're doing? So families with their children go to certain sites and pick up the meals, correct?
Correct. We are doing a grab and go, if at all possible, a drive up system at the school sites, where we're having them come through the bus circle, where we have staff that we're going to try to have two locations, kind of like a restaurant drive up. First location will tell, you'll tell the food service staff how many meals you need for your students that should be present in the car. At the next location, they'll have the meals and they're going to hand it to them on a tray, so there's less contact. That's the scenario we're looking at for the school site locations. For the bus routes, the bus drivers are going to be handing the meals to the students that show up at that bus stop. They'll be there for 30 minutes at a time.
Okay, and is this just for children that qualify, or is this for everybody?
It's for anybody that is 18 years and younger, and we're not having anybody bring IDs or anything like that. It's how we operate under the summer feeding program. All sites are free. You come up, if you appear to be 18 years and younger, you'll get the meal. So it's intended to get, you know, not to discriminate, to get to any child that's 18 years and younger should get the meal.
With all these sites opening, do you think that you all are prepared for this upcoming week, for the numbers that you see, that are you're planning to see?
Yes, we scrambled last week and got orders in. We are we had all of our management team in place. This is again our spring break, but we have them all working yesterday and today to receive orders. We had our mainline distributor dropping off at our warehouse on the first 2 days of the week, Monday and Tuesday, for deliveries that couldn't make it into the time frame for us. So we're delivering that product to the school sites. I feel like we're ready. I don't know. We in food and nutrition seem to be very flexible and accommodating on a regular basis. So I have the most amazing team of people that work for me, and very proud of them when they're called upon to work or to do anything, work on their spring break, work out in the community when this pandemic is happening. They never let me down. It's quite amazing.
And how long do you all expect to offer this?
Well, right now, the order is through April 15th. I guess they will make that decision on a regular basis every 10 or 15 days. If need be, we will continue to feed in this process. We have a week menu. We may have to adapt a little bit to the menu on as to what the distributors are able to get us. We've had to adjust already. For milk, we're not able to have chocolate milk like we're used to having, or strawberry. It's going to be 1% white and fat-free white. That's an adjustment. Our juice is coming in frozen in the pouches, and we're just having to adjust. So we right now are adapting and are meeting all the rules and regulations that are being passed down by USDA.
From the Front Lines is a production of the Innovation News Center at the College of Journalism and Communications at the University of Florida. Thank you to our producers, Taylor Levesque, Daniela Mora, Anthony Montalto, Josh Williams, and Melissa Fato. And a special thank you to Matt Abramson for his work behind the scenes. Join us tomorrow for another edition of From the Front Lines. I'm your host, Ryan Vasquez, and of course, thanks for listening.